Ephesians is where we're at, and we just finished chapter 4, so we'll begin chapter 5. Now, the last verse in chapter 4 says this. Verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You and I have been forgiven. If you belong to Jesus, your sins are washed away. You're free. So forgive everybody, every time. Don't let anything be held in you. Give it all up and forgive. Be willing to live for God. And he goes on now. Remember, there are no chapter breaks in the Bible. We put them there to find things more easily. But after he says, even as you have been for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, be ye therefore. Now remember, there's no break. So you forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, in Jesus' name, has forgiven you. You therefore be followers of God as dear children. God has forgiven me, and I should forgive others, all. And he says, so as God has forgiven you, Bob, you forgive others. Be therefore followers of God. Now the word followers is, remember, we're looking, I'm reading out of a language that is Elizabethan English, 1611. This Bible was written, this language. I use the King James. So Shakespeare understood it well, Elizabethan English, but many times we today would choose another word to use. So let me read it to you in modern American. Be ye therefore imitators of God. The word, the Greek word is mimos. Everybody has seen a mime, haven't you? Three people in the United States like them, but I know everybody has seen them. Just joking. Mimos, it means to imitate. And we're told, be ye therefore imitators of God. What are we supposed to imitate? Well, God. And if God forgave for Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake, then I should imitate that. I should copy that. I should do the same. How do you imitate God? You've never seen Him. Well, it boils down to this. Jesus came here and said, I and the Father are one. What you see me do, I saw the Father do. What you hear me say, that's what the Father says. So if you want to know what God would do if someone spit in His face, go look at Jesus. What would God do if someone made fun of Him? Look at Jesus. What would He do if someone hurt His feelings? Or accused Him of something falsely? What would God do? Look at Jesus. Not only look at Him now, but be ye therefore imitators of Him. Copy Him. Watch what He does, and you do that too. Now, it takes the Holy Spirit. You and I need the power, so it takes the Holy Spirit, but I ought to go out of this building, and when I run into people today, if something should go right or wrong, I should remember what Jesus did, because He shows me what God does, and I should copy that. Many times I don't, but that's the goal. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, you can write this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says the same thing to the Corinthians. He says, you imitate me. I'll read it in the King James language. Be ye followers of me. Well, because Paul was so great? No. Even as I also imitate Jesus Christ. The verse says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I imitate Jesus, you imitate me. You say, well, I've never seen Jesus. And Paul says, then imitate me. Because I am imitating Him. I have set my face like a flint. I'm looking that way. Nothing will turn me. But according to God's grace and His mercy and His power, I'm going to walk in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Him. And then here he tells the Ephesians, you imitate God. Now that is a big command. That's big. And just to show you how big it is, just when you get some time today, try it. And then as soon as you fumble and fall, you say, "Woo, that's big. That's a big job. Imitate Jesus. Imitate God. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it by yourself. As dear children. And walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Jesus came here and all he wanted to do was what God wanted. That's all he wanted to do. Jesus, you want to go bowling? He'd say, if that's what God wants me to do, then set him up. Are you going to go to the feast? His brothers made fun of him. Come on, go to the feast, everybody. You think you're the Messiah. His brothers didn't believe in him. You think you're the Messiah, so come on to the feast. Show everybody. And Jesus looked at them and said, your time is always. You can go anytime you want. I need to wait on my Father. And when my Father says go, I go. Jesus loved his Father. And so he's walked in love as Christ also loved us. We're to walk in love. That's a tall order. That's a big assignment. He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus said it, John chapter 5, you can find this. Jesus said, I did not come to do my own will. I am not here to make myself happy. People, person after person after person that we all hear, we've probably said it out of our own mouths. All I want to be is happy. Haven't you said that or maybe heard someone say that along the way? All I'm looking for is to be happy. The 60s people, I don't know what happened in the 60s. I don't know what they were looking for, but it was supposedly happiness of some kind. And God comes along and says, now you imitate me. Okay. Well, I am not here to make myself happy. To quote from a secular song, one of the writers says, speaking of destiny, speaking of karma, why on earth are we here? Surely not to live in pain or fear. And I think Jesus came to live in pain, not fear, but he certainly did. He came, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what he was coming into, and he came anyway. And he says, now you follow me. You imitate me. What am I doing here? Am I here for my own enjoyment? Appearing now for your own enjoyment, Bob. I'm not happy. Let's go do this. That made me happy. Oh, my goodness. Nothing personal. And I don't mean to slam women, but I probably will. When I hear that these 90s, all women need to be as happy. Really? There's no call in there for Scripture for any of us to be that way. How come women? Where does that come from? It's a lie of the world. It's another way to get us fighting each other, men and women. It's a trick to get us. And we'll talk about husbands and wives coming up, so don't worry. This ministry is accused quite often of, we're accused of a lot of things, which is good. It means people are at least looking. But you'll see men and women alike get excited about God. And so what report comes back? Man, they go to that church over there in North Carolina. For Pete, all they think about is God. Now, they want to study the Bible all the time. They're useless. You know, my wife used to make dinner. Now she's in there reading her Bible. My husband, he used to be, I could nag him enough and get him to do something. Now he says, I'm going to go down to the church and help them do this. Man, these people are useless. When really what's happening is not the church's fault. It's God finally getting hold of their heart and they're starting to see what matters. And so they start to say, let's all go read our Bible. Let's do this. How about that? And soon, the pastor's wife gets credit, or whoever's teaching the Bible study. Some of you teach Bible studies in different parts of the town. You start to get credit when somebody gets really weird and really wants to pray about it. When you're standing there in Safeway, of all weird places, and you say, my foot hurts, and someone looks at you and says, let's pray. In Safeway? No. You're taking this stuff too seriously. You need to back off. What church do you go to? Well, the First Church of the Apostle Paul. Man, that must be a weird place. You pray in public? I mean, the only time we pray in public is when we're going to eat. And that's important to pray. Just to kill the taste. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering. Jesus came to serve you. Will you give your life to Him? If you want to save your life, give it to Jesus. Turn it over to Him. Say, I am yours. Here am I, Isaiah said. Send me. Whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, with what you want me to do it with, I am yours. What happens is it does radically change your life. And the people around you don't like it, because they had you pretty much trained. And all of a sudden you're starting to say, wait a minute, this seems more important. Let's do this. And everybody goes, you're so weird compared to what you used to be. And funny, instead of them coming along, they just bother you about it. You follow Jesus and walk in love. And of course, there's a lot to that. We can't, you know, love is patient, it is kind, it never demands its own way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 will give you a good picture. Love is not what you feel, love is what you do. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He died for me. What will I give Him? I have nothing to give Him. And He doesn't want anything from me. He wants my heart. That's what He wants. He wants me, really. I made you. I love you. Come with me. I've saved you now. You come with me. And He wants me to walk with Him. And I'm so foolish at it that I stumble and I fumble. And of course, He has made a way that I can get through. He has forgiven my sins, and still I can confess when I sin. And He's set that all up for you and I as Christians. So we see now, this is what we ought to do. Imitate God and walk in love, which is of course imitating God, just like Jesus. Be like Jesus when you grow up. But we need to be growing up. Now, fornication, that's sexual sin, but fornication or sexual sin and all uncleanness. Uncleanness is moral impurity of all sorts. Impure motives, impure thoughts, impure actions of sorts. All uncleanness. So we've got, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Covetousness, the word means to take advantage of. A greedy desire to have more, to take advantage. If you're covetous, you might rip somebody off. You'll take advantage of a business situation. You'll take advantage of a poor family, or you'll take advantage. It's a greedy, I want more. And you do it to the disadvantage of someone else. Is it wrong to have things? No. God has blessed some of you and you have many things. But you came by it honestly and God blessed you with it. And you didn't cheat and rob and rip off. You weren't covetous about it. See, the problem with Christians is they believe, well, if you're rich, that's bad. No, if you're rich, that's a blessing. But you see, we don't want to become anything through covetousness. We want to work hard, diligently, use wisdom, and God blesses. So it's not a problem with having. The problem usually turns out how I got. So covetousness, to take advantage of, a greedy desire to have more. He says, but fornication, sexual sin, all uncleanness, that's moral impurity of all sorts, all, covetousness, do not let that once be named among you as becometh saints. All of us here, or listening to this tape, don't let that be named among you and I. From this day forward, don't let it be said, Bob is ripping people off. He's greedy and all he's trying to do is get. Don't ever let that be said about me. Don't let that be said about you. Don't let that be said about the ministry you're a part of. Do not let that ever be said. They should be saying they're just too into their Bible. They just want to serve God. They're just strange. That's okay. But he says, don't let that be once named among you. Neither, he goes on, as I read fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, don't let that be named among you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, and I'll read verses 26 through 28, he said, that's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man returns. People will be living in fornication, sexual sin of all sorts. They will be unclean, all uncleanness, moral impurities, and they will be covetous. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise also, it was in the days of Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. It was sexual sin. It was uncleanness, moral impurity. And Jesus said it will be that way. It will be that way in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. When the second coming, when Jesus comes to set up His kingdom, to set His foot on the Mount of Olives, when He shows up, that's what the world will be like. But you and I will not be that way. Let it not once be named among us as becometh saints, He says. Neither, we're not finished though, He says, also, filthiness should never be mentioned. You know, the word filthiness in the original Greek means deformed. And what it's talking about is, in speech, obscenity. Speech that is deformed and derailed and messed up and obscene. Not only should my life stay away from sexual sin and from moral impurity and from greediness, a greedy desire to have or to take advantage of, also I need to stay away from deformed language, obscenities. But not only just obscenities, but foolish talking. Foolish talking means silly or stupid words. And we're again talking about in the obscene area. Now there are many times that many of us say something stupid. And many times it's out of ignorance we said it. I hope. You know, you got somebody there and the car won't start and you're turning it and turning it and turning it. Everybody's got the hood up and someone comes along and goes, did you check the air in the tires? God bless you. That's really stupid. We love you though. No, you don't say that. That would be rude. But I mean, sometimes we don't know. I don't know what makes the car go. Is it winter air instead of summer in there? Change it. See what happens. I don't know. But when it comes to the bad and the impure, foolish talking would be silly or stupid words. Or the same word for jesting. Now, jesting here, the word means coarse language, vulgar humor. Low jesting is what the term suggests. Now, Some people use this to teach that you should never, never say anything that might be humorous. But that's not correct at all. Not in the context, not even if you pulled it out and just looked at the words by themselves. As a matter of fact, that humor is good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, Proverbs 17 tells us. God does laugh, it's true, and has a sense of humor. And one of the things that does separate us, I think it was H.A. Ironside said, if they can find a monkey that tells jokes and laughs at it, maybe they will find the missing link. But until then, the sense of humor still separates us from the animal kingdom. That also. So please don't misunderstand. When you hear Christians joking, it's okay to joke. Now, when it gets in the trash, when it's low jesting, or when it's, the word could be vulgar humor, or coarse language in jesting, now we're to refrain from it and stay away from that. For this you know. Oh, I'm sorry. Which are not convenient. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Hey, the word convenient here is not the word you and I normally use for convenient. The word means it doesn't stack up, or doesn't come up to, or doesn't meet par. Or, you would say, doesn't come up to appropriateness. Meaning, it's not appropriate to be saying those things. The foolish, well, let me read it to you again. The filthiness, the foolish talking, and the low jesting are not up to par. Not for a believer. They are not up to the standard that God has set. They are not appropriate to be coming from you and I, is what He's communicating here. On the other hand, what is appropriate is giving of thanks. You got two kids who come to help. You got a youth group going, you got the kids come. They all show up and they're going to do something, whatever it is. Maybe they're going to sweep the parking lot. And you got one pushing a broom going, ooh, man, it's going to be a warm day. And you got another one going, man, who painted this parking lot? What? Look at these lines. That's lousy lines. Who did that? I don't know, man. Gosh, you know what? After we get done with this, maybe we ought to go to the lake. Oh, my God. Look at this. Who threw this trash down here? Look at this. Yeah, I know, but let's go ahead and sweep. Look at this trash. Do you realize that someone's been eating too much sugar? Look at this wrapper. What's wrong with one of those kids? They got no heart. Everything's wrong. Who does this kind of trash? Who put this here? Who painted these lines? Why did they pave this color? Why is there air? What's wrong with this individual? Something's wrong. One has come with a heart that wants to just sweep the place up. That's what we've come to do. And one has come, who knows why? And what he's saying is, we can't be that way our lives. So you put it all together. The sexual sin, the impure motives, or the moral impurity, the covetousness, the filthiness, the foolish talking, the jesting, they are not convenient. They don't stack up in our walk with God. On the other hand, we ought to just be thankful. That's someone got a wrapper. Well, that's neat. Now that gives me something to pick up. While you're sweeping, I'll run around and pick this up. We need to be thankful. Our hearts need to be merry while we do these things. We need to walk like Jesus. We need to be full of grace and thankful and thrilled that we're getting to do something. We need to walk differently than the standard that the world has set. God says, my standard's a little higher. For this you know, no whoremonger. Now there's a term we don't use as much as we like. Right? A whoremonger is simply someone who prostitutes themselves. Not only for sex, but for anything. For money, for whatever. Someone who just sells themselves. Usually sexually speaking. No whoremonger, nor unclean person. What was the unclean? You remember, I'll read it to you. The moral impure. The moral impurity. Remember he says fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Now he's saying, you know that no sexual sinner, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. What are you doing if you're covetous? If I want for me and I want for me, how am I living? I'm living a life where I'm the one that's being worshipped. Something has come now taking the place of God. Me. Anything that takes the place of God is wrong, and God says don't do it, and that makes you an idolater. And you know no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Those will not inherit the kingdom. How are you living today? Covetous? Morally impure? We all have to ask, how's it going? Where is my heart? Where am I? And only you can answer it. Sometimes wives think they can answer for husbands. Husbands think they can answer for wives. Parents think they can answer for children. Children think they can answer for parents. But you notice, nobody can answer for you. You know the answer right now. How am I living? Where is my heart? For no, you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words. Don't be fooled. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. There is a payday coming when that lifestyle will be answered for. Now, what we need to do is come to Jesus, be washed clean, and walk no more that way. We're free in Jesus, true, but we walk no more that way. Now you go and you sin no more and you begin to say, Lord, I don't want to live that way, but I don't have the strength to stop it. You help me. And I begin to walk with Jesus. You begin to imitate God. Well, Lord, what would you have done in this case? I don't know what to do. Run back to the Gospels and see what God would do or what He says about it. And that's what Paul's telling the Ephesians here. Don't let anybody trick you. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. Don't share or be partners in that kind of lifestyle. Don't share with or be partners in that kind of lifestyle. Are you a Christian? Then do not be partakers with that lifestyle. When everybody goes into telling the jokes that are in the trash, you and I don't become a partaker with them or share in it. We don't try to make them behave. That is not my job, to make you be nice. How can I possibly do that? You might pull a gun out and shoot me. But I know this. If you say you're a Christian, then I should say to you, wait a minute, maybe that's not appropriate. Well, whether you will listen or whether you won't, there's one thing I'm told. From this day forward, don't share in that. Don't participate in that. Everybody gets over, it's break time, they get over and they start talking about this. And you think, you know something? I'll go over here. I'm trying to memorize a verse anyway. Or I'm, you know, I got to think, maybe I'll just run and call home, see how everybody's doing. Or maybe I'll go out here because I was thinking the oil might be low in my car. So I'll run out and I'll find me something to do that would be okay with God, is what I'm trying to tell you. I'll just go find something to do that God would say is all right. Instead of condemning them and preaching, oh, you're all going to hell, I'll run out and check the winter air in my tires and see if it's ready for summer air. I don't know what I'll do. I'll just go do that. I will not partake in this because we shouldn't partake. For you, Bob, and you, every one of you, you were sometimes darkness. You lived that way. You used to live that way. I used to live that way. Do you hear that in Paul's mind, if you're truly a saint, truly born again, that was you used to? Do you see that? Do you understand what's being communicated? If you're truly saved, you don't do any more. But all of us have to admit we were that way at one time. You were sometimes darkness, but you're born again now. Now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. You know you're born again. You want to walk with God. Some of you have not been walking with God. You somehow got sidetracked. You got off somewhere somehow. And the problem is usually we want to sit and waste our time trying to figure out, now how did I get way off on this dirt road? How did I get it? Who cares? I mean, it's important to realize some things because I don't want to end up back over here. But don't spin your wheels trying to figure out why this is a dirt road. Get back on the path you belong on. And that's this morning. You and I can do that. And a lot of people look at you and go, man, you used to be such a woman of God. Man of God, how did you end up such a fool? You know something? I don't know how I... Pray for me. But there has to be a heart that says, I want to come home. I want to go home with you, Lord. I want to get back where I belong with you. And that's what he tells us. He says, you used to be that way, but you're light now. You are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Do you hear that, verse 9? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. As opposed to what? Evil, wickedness, and falsehood. He says, don't be a part of that. The fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of light, is really what you're seeing here, is this. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's where you and I live. We get out of and away from the evil, the wickedness, and the falsehood. That's what he's telling us. The fruit, for the fruit of the Spirit, or fruit of light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then he says, you want to go on to do this. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The word to prove means to test or to examine. Examining or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. The verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Test your own selves, he's saying. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? He uses the word again, prove, meaning to test or examine. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word prove means test or examine. When someone comes along and says, hey, this is of the Lord, you are to do what with it? Prove all things. Test it, see if it's of God. Examine it, see if it's of the Lord. The same word is used in 1 John chapter 4 when he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Same word can be translated. It's the same Greek word. It means prove, examine. So someone comes along and said, I'm directly from God and I say we should all worship Lucifer. And you say, okay, let me examine that in the light of God. You're going to find out that's not true. You test it, you examine it. So we're told here, now that you know how we are to walk, be imitators of God, and you know we want to stay away from certain lifestyles and not be partakers or not share in those things, he says this then, test what is acceptable unto the Lord. That means you want to check with God and see. Lord, everybody wants to run down to the local hangout down there. And since everybody's having trouble, we've decided to go in the middle of the night and burn it to the ground. What do you think, Lord? You test that and God would say, no, no, no. You never return evil for evil. You don't overcome evil with evil. And all of a sudden you begin to test that and see and prove that and say, no, no, that's not acceptable to the Lord. What does it mean to be acceptable? Simply, what pleases God. That's what we want to do. I want to imitate you. And so I am told, don't walk this way, but walk this way instead, in goodness, righteousness, and truth, instead of evil, wickedness, and falsehood. That's how I should walk. Goodness, righteousness, truth. So I need to test or examine what pleases the Lord. I need to begin to learn and to grow and see what pleases Him. Lord, does this please You? What do You want me to do? Some things aren't right or wrong. It's just that God wants you to do them or He doesn't want you to do them. Every one of us could go become missionaries in Peru. That would be not right or wrong. But what if God wanted you to be a missionary in Oklahoma instead? And you went to Peru and you should test and prove and see, what do You want me to do, Lord? I'm stepping out in faith. Tell me what to do now. So, you imitate God as dear children. Walk in love just as Jesus did, who didn't come here to live for Himself or to please Himself. He came here to please His Father. Whatever pleases God, that's what I will do. What I Not my will, but thy will be done. Whatever you say, whatever you want. Well, that might mean that people, you lose friends. It might. That might mean you have to even suffer a little bit. And when everybody else is going over here to stand in that corner, you're not allowed to go for some reason. And it just might mean that your life might be a little different somehow, some way from this point on. It might mean a little bit on your part of giving, where you really didn't want to. You were being selfish and you wanted to get. But it might mean giving. Who knows what it'll mean to you? I don't know your circumstances or your situation. But I know this. We have got to begin to walk in goodness and in righteousness and in truth. Proving or testing or examining what pleases God. Sometimes if it pleases God, we'll do it when we're not sure we're really into it. I don't know if this might cost me too much. This might, oh gosh, this may make me sweat. Oh, this may maybe make me look even sillier than I look already. Somebody might not like it. And yet still, it's what pleases God, and so we do it. And you saw Jesus willing to do that, and we're told to imitate Him, imitate God. We have to stop here so that we can share communion together, but I'd like you to pray. Pray about what you've heard, what you've read here this morning. Pray about these things. What pleases you, Lord? From here on, I don't want to walk in selfishness, in greediness, in sexual sin. I don't want to walk in anything. What pleases you? You teach me, you grow me up, you show me, and I'll do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it alone, but I'll do it. That's the way you want to be. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for willing hearts. Hearts that are open to Him. Do you want your life to count for Him? I always pray. I pray that. I may turn out to be the lousiest pastor in the world. I may turn out to be the lousiest husband, lousiest father, the lousiest anything. Whatever I am, I may turn out to be the lousiest. But I always say, Lord, just make my life count for something. Just use it for something. Don't let it be a waste. Let my life go for you somehow. And now you don't have to pray my prayer. Pray your own. But I know God is calling us to walk in Him so that others out there can see you walking as a child, as children of light, and they will be brought to Jesus. And it will be you that God used to bring them along. And you will be so blessed that others are okay because God allowed you to walk with Him. We're going to share communion together now. So as the praise band comes back up, let's bow our heads and we'll pray, and then as they pass out the bread and the cup, you hold on to it, we'll take those together. But let's pray together.